This book first appeared in the late 1990s and found a substantial audience among the Buddha curious and even initiated Buddhist practitioners. Over the years, it has been translated into Spanish, Hindi, and Chinese. I am proud to bring out this new revised edition with Hampton Roads Publishing because it allows me to clarify further and nuance the basic arguments of the Buddha. The original impetus for this book was the fact that Buddhism seemed deeply misunderstood in the West. Unfortunately, that fact has not changed much. Unlike most other religious scriptures, which are comprised of parables, legends, and allegories, Buddhist teachings also contain actual philosophical arguments that were advanced by the Buddha himself. My little illustrated book is primarily about those arguments. I would accept a happy irony if my cartoon drawings lured people into those decidedly uncartoonish philosophical arguments. So skewed is the Western view of Buddhism that it will probably come as a surprise to many people that the Buddha gave rational arguments and empirical evidence in his teachings. Recently, in one of my classes, an undergraduate student informed me that people in the East, like Buddhists, don't logically argue with each other. Instead, they simply look at each other and read each other's minds with compassionate understanding. She had gathered this wisdom from American television shows, commercials, and movies, which proffer a cadre of mystical monk characters, usually helping some confused Westerner pick the right soda or cell phone service or some other consumer quandary. Stereotypes die hard, I know, and the tedium of consumer culture may always lead us to romanticize exotic monastic traditions. But it is my hope that this book will give searchers a little more grasp on the ethics, metaphysics, epistemology, and even logic of Buddhism. Since this book first appeared, more than one person has asked why my drawings of the Buddha look like Osama bin Laden. I find this a little funny, but also a little disconcerting, since such a weird and unpleasant connotation hardly helps me make my case for Buddhism. I've had to assure readers that bin Laden was not on my radar, nor anyone else's, it would appear, when I first drew the Buddha several years before 9/11. The fact is that I drew him modeled on myself, which I admit sounds like the height of narcissism, but as any illustrator knows, in the absence of a model, one has to rehearse facial expressions and body movements in a mirror. So Gautama and many of the other characters got rather exaggerated and modified versions of my own tired mug. No one really knows what the Buddha looked like, except to say that he had the ethnic features of a northern Indian. He was definitely not fat, nor did his features resemble those of Chinese or Japanese. And of course, both those misrepresentations, fat and Far Eastern, are common. It is understandable that we should forget the Buddha's Indian origins, since Buddhism ceased to be prevalent in India about 1,200 years ago, while it continued to dominate Asian cultures right up to the present. Geographic prevalence explains the ethnic confusion, but why is he usually portrayed as fat? Two considerations may solve the mystery. First, we have to remember that in every other part of the world, and at every other time in history, fat was a good thing to be. In our currently obese state of prosperity, Americans and the rest of the developed world are desperate to get thinner, but our historical predecessors had no such familiarity with empty calorie bloating. Being fat was rare, and it was a symbol of power, health, prosperity, and even social status. Being fat meant that your family had invested well in you, and that you, in turn, were probably a good spousal investment. Add to this the second consideration, that whenever Buddhism arrived in a new place, it did not arrive into a religious vacuum. As a religion, Buddhism had to compete in the marketplace of other traditions. In Tibet, Buddhism appeared as an interloper in a region dominated by the native animistic religion, Bon. In China, Buddhism seemed like an upstart next to Taoism and Confucianism. In Japan, Shinto was already dominant, and so on wherever the Dharma traveled. A fat Buddha image may have been a powerful marketing tool in gaining converts in new lands.